Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Hello and welcome to City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast. I'm Philip Gilfus, your groom-elect, with my fellow castaways, Daniel Prue and Darren Moser. How are you all doing, and more important, what have you gotten off my registry?
The registry. Well, I went with the Sumerian customary gift of a balloon full of my breath. I'm pretty sure that's something. So, yes, it's very personalized, these molecules of O2.
Right. Okay, I can get that. I don't know why it's a Spider-Man balloon, but it's cool. I mean, I didn't really see the wedding connection. But what about you, Daniel?
Of course, I got you the customary space toaster.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's true. I mean, I've just been eating this dry space.
So it's not quite up to temperature. So now you can toast your own space when you need to. It's amazing. I'm really excited. It's also got a pattern on it, but I'm not going to tell you what that is. That's what you'll have to find out.
So in Star Trek, do you actually give the space toaster as like an isolinear chip, and they put it in the replicator, and it replicates the toaster, and then replicates the bread, and then you put the bread in the toaster? Is that how that works?
No, I made it myself out of space bits.
Well, shouldn't we be using the space bits to get off the planet? I feel like this is like the Mystery Science Theater 3000, where we use the parts to make our robot friends.
I don't know
friends.
How you found a wife on our stranded planet, so I mean, we're going full Gilligan's Island here.
You're only getting married once. Maybe we'll be marooned more than once in our lifetime. So, you know, who knows? This is why it's important.
Hey, Sisko got married more than once.
Yeah, right? If he could do it, then I can. Or you can, I guess.
Unless you see the Borg on the horizon. Hopefully not.
Well, you never do see the Borg on the horizon. But anyway, let's do our customary Star Trek lives. You know, anything going on? Any Star Trek things anyone's got going on?
No. I was just going to say, other than Discovery being possibly delayed again, which is awesome. And I say that sarcastically.
Stardates work differently in the year 2017.
That's what it was. Somebody converted it.
We just can't really pin that down.
So when they said Stardate early 2017 and it's not coming out until potentially 2018, that there was just a Stardate conversion issue. Okay, that's fair.
You know, if they actually marketed like that, I think we would all let it slide.
It would be funny, actually, yeah.
Well, this weekend I went to an RPF party, which is a replica prop forum, is an online web community of people who build props and costumes and all sorts of things. And I've been logging my K2SO Star Wars build there. But everyone brings awesome things to this build. So I saw all sorts of Star Trek props there. There were pads. There were, you know, McCoy scanning devices. Someone had a nacelle from the Enterprise B that was probably 4 feet long. That they were building the whole thing, but that's all they had brought was the nacelle. And I said, oh, is that an Excelsior nacelle? And he's like, obviously the Enterprise B nacelle. And I'm like, oh, you're right. Oh, you got me. But there was a Miranda class that was being like a Polar Lights. And that dish was probably maybe like 15, 16 inches. And there were, but some of the unique pieces that I saw was the, the ceremonial clay figure with the figures inside of it, the one that Picard leaves at the end of Generations, he doesn't care about anymore.
Right.
And I asked him, is this intact? And he said, unfortunately, I forgot the little pieces. So, no, it is not. And it just had the outer shell.
So you should have just picked it up and thrown it behind you.
Pretty much. Pretty much. But, yeah, but I was surprised. There was quite a few Star Trek things, some phasers and some tricorders. And one of the makers there, he said his father was really into, you know, making TOS stuff, and he's made everything that's been seen in like reoccurring episodes, and now he's on to like really obscure like McCoy tools that you only see in one episode. So I guess, hey, gotta make what you love.
I mean, I can get a squirt bottle anywhere, but I mean, if that's really...
But is it the proper shade of black, or whatever color it was?
I guess it's only semi-counts, because I just got it in the mail, like, 3 hours ago. But I did get Larry Nemechek's Stellar Cartography. Is that literally what it's called? But anyway, his Book-O Maps. It was on sale on Amazon. It may still be by the time you listen to this. I don't know. But anyway, so that was kind of cool.
Have you started charting a way off the planet here?
That's what I'm hoping. I mean, some of them are in Klingon.
That's true.
So.
We should be able to identify our system. No, I'm sorry. I'm looking up Stellar Cartography books right now. I'm like, holy cow, that's a deal.
Well, we're actually going to have a interesting episode, you know, as opposed to all our other ones. This one, we're actually going to be talking about weddings. That's right, because I'm getting married. I'm lazy, and that was the easiest topic to think about. I have to figure out which starships I'm going to put on the centerpiece for the rehearsal dinner, and then, you know, where I'm going to hang, you know, my uniforms in the tent. You know, there's just so many decisions that have to be made, and so what we're going to talk about is sort of our favorite weddings that took place in the Star Trek universe, and maybe some that are not necessarily canonical, and then maybe some real life things as well. And I think we'll be joined by some folks along the way here. And so, first of all, we did put this topic out on the Nerd Party Facebook and Twitter, and just wanted to include some responses we got. And one of the responses we got on Twitter was from at Edith Quarks, aka Jennifer Sisko, and I guess I don't know if it's Jennifer, right? Said that her favorite wedding moment was Unseen, but that Picard was willing to participate in the naked Betazoid ceremony to honor the culture of his friend. Always stuck with me is what she tweeted. Did you guys miss that we didn't get to see the Nemesis Betazoid wedding with basically the entire cast naked?
You know, miss maybe is a strong term, but, you know, I did like that they obviously, you know, put that Easter egg in of, you know, oh, look, this is going to happen. And then we cut to the scene afterwards where they're having the reception. But no, I like how that's a great scene to pull, because it references the wedding and it references, you know, the many different cultures that are on a Federation starship. And obviously the captain, he's got to have some sort of liaison officer to help him, like, sort through all these different cultures. Something I've seen some other sci-fis do a little bit better than Star Trek, but Star Trek definitely touches upon it.
Did you ever consider the traditional Beta Z wedding for what you're doing, Philip?
You know, first, when you look at the cost, it's very attractive to go that way instead. But because I'm not a farmer, I already owned a tux. And,
wow.
Is that a North Carolina joke? I don't quite get that.
And Jessica actually, I don't know. We're actually proud of this fact, so I'll go ahead and say it. She paid $30 for her wedding dress. And no one even died in it. Like, I mean, you would think. But no, it was apparently the, you know, well, people don't care about my wedding details.
Right time.
But anyway, but she's staring at me. But she got the veil. But she got, you know, a veil and everything. I mean, it was very, very sensibly priced. So no, we did not have to go with the naked Betazoid option. But another response that we got was on Facebook, and this one was from Christopher Baca, and he said that the two most memorable weddings were probably Spock and T'Pring, and then Worf and Jadzia. And then talking off mic, Daniel, you had a point of contention about this.
Oh, just I don't remember it being a wedding. I mean, I remember them going there and talking a lot about stuff, but like, they didn't go there to get, he didn't go there to get married. He went there because
I don't remember Spock being like, oh yeah, by the way, Captain, after this meeting, I'm going to be like off duty for whatever, you know, 3 years because I'm married now or whatever. Like, that didn't happen.
Well, they were engaged.
No. Right.
There was an arranged marriage.
Yeah. And which they talked a lot about, but I don't remember, like, and you know, something super simple as like, looking up online or actually watching the episode would actually clear this up real quick. But just in my memory, I don't, you know, they go there and they like talk for a bit and then the guy comes up and challenges them. But I don't remember it being in the middle of a, was that a ceremony for the wedding? Was that supposed to be the wedding? I could be totally wrong. I just don't remember it being the wedding.
You had a T'Pau show up.
Right.
I think she was supposed to officiate.
Is that what was happening?
So I don't think she was just there to watched the two of them.
Maybe I'm just not remembering every detail or the specific details about it. So we shouldn't probably spend too much time on it if it was the wedding, then it was very quickly put together because, you know, he was at warp 11 at that point. So,
well, all you need is a couple of spears, clubs, a nice gong. Really, you don't have to go that much
further. Well, the Memory Alpha beginning says, suffering from his first infliction of Ponfar, the Vulcan biological mating urge, Spock must return to Vulcan to marry his betrothed.
Yeah, all right.
He will die.
That's fine. I was surprised that they put it together that quickly. But
I mean, talk about getting cold feet. I mean, he's just like chilling on the Enterprise, doing his duty, when it's like, nope, sorry, you have to stop everything and go to your home planet.
It's amazing that he can't, you know, they can't just mate, you know, it's like this super biological imperative and they can't just mate to get it over with. They still have to go through this ceremony of getting married and then mate.
See, Daniel's not a traditionalist is what we just want to throw out there.
I'm just saying, if like, he's
why do we have to have
someone?
Legal paperwork getting involved and it's just a man and a woman and two people.
What are those things called? Are they called, is it LRPA? Is that what it is?
Yes. A little LRPA.
So instead of a shotgun wedding, it's a LRPA wedding. I guess is that what it is.
I like that. Yeah, and to me, I mean, we could do a whole episode on Vulcans, but you know, the whole Vulcan arranged marriage doesn't seem very logical. I mean, it seems like, I guess that must be traditional, be before the reform movement of logic. But
well, according to this, you know, there is no one-to-one correspondence with a human pairing. It's more less of a marriage and more of a betrothal. So it's, you know, it's Vulcans are just they're weird. I'm gonna say it.
Well, hey, I mean, Sarek got married to humans because it was part of the job. He didn't care. He was just like, whatever.
Twice.
No, actually,
twice. Yeah, that's right.
Later, he admitted that it was because he loved her.
Okay, well, yes, of course.
For the notebook version of Vulcan.
I think it's more of the Fiddler on the Roof, and it's like, do you love me? Woman, I believe in logic. No, I'm asking, do you love me? Well, speaking of Vulcans and controversial weddings, we did see T'Pol get married, with Trip, like, watching her get married. So that was awkward.
I don't think we've had a more awkward wedding scene since While You Were Sleeping. Because that's pretty high there on the awkwardness.
Speaking of interesting weddings, we actually have a transmission that we're receiving. Apparently, the subspace antenna actually works instead of just broadcasting. We can actually receive, and this is a fellow member of the Nerd Party who actually has some non-canon based favorite marriages.
Hello, Daniel, Darren, and Philip on SETI Alpha 3. This is Charlene, co-host of Punch It on thenerdparty.com. You asked folks to comment on our favorite Trek weddings or if we had a favorite Trek-themed wedding that we have either attended or orchestrated ourselves. Unfortunately, I did not have any Trek themes in my own wedding, so scratch that. I have not attended any Trek-themed weddings of other people, unfortunately, as well. So scratch that. I've got to talk about what has actually happened in the universe. Well, darn. So here we go. I would have to say my favorite Trek wedding is... it's not canon yet. And that, of course, would be the marriage of Janeway and Chakotay, because they were totally married. And in my head canon, they totally are. They were secretly married on Voyager. They didn't tell anybody. The crew could only speculate. They never knew it was official, but they totally did, right? Maybe this is only in my fantasy head, but I don't know. It just struck me that those two are totally married. Now, in the novels, of course, there is that chance where maybe we will see them, well, read them about them getting married. So, Kirsten Beyer, I am counting on you to make my relationship or dreams come true. It is up to you now. Finish writing Discovery and then please get on this. Okay, and now I hear you guys groaning all the way over here. So, let's go with the canon one just to make you happy. And that would be Troy and Riker, because How freaking long did we all wait for this? I think we all deep down knew it was going to happen. I mean, we saw them dating other people, going into these whirlwind romances that of course never worked out. Usually they lasted for what, one episode? Nothing more than a fling, really. And I think once you find your Imzadi, that is just your true love, and it's kind of unfortunate that it took, oh, I don't know, what would you call it, the aphrodisiac planet that makes your boobs firm up and makes you want to shave and feel youthful to, I guess, rekindle the romance. But I guess, well, it worked, and they finally tied the knot. And I think we all deep down just breathed a real sigh of relief. The universe was finally at peace as far as these two were concerned. So that is my choice, guys. And for Philip, I wish you nothing but the best on your gleeful day. I hope it all goes well. Thanks, and LLAP.
Okay, guys. So those were, did not realize there were secret marriages going on in Voyager.
It's a sick ship of secrets. Philip.
Tiny secrets, but secrets nonetheless, yeah.
Well, no, you're thinking of Defiant Daniel. Those would be.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
But I thought it was interesting, her focus on Tryker, again, with Riker and Troy. Because, I mean, to me, when I always think weddings and Star Trek, I always think, like, you know, you're cordially invited, Worf and...
Jadzia.
Yeah, Worf and Jadzia. Which, you know, I mean, do we want to point out that... They invited Worf to their wedding, but...
Awkward. Things get a little awkward with the timing there, and, yeah. Just saying. Well,
speaking of interesting wedding rites, I think we were talking about a certain Ferengi getting married.
That's right. You mentioned the cordially invited for Worf's wedding, but I was like, wait, I think we see another wedding of a Klingon variety in House of Quark, which... It's. I think we actually get more of the service because we don't actually see. No, wait, no. I'm sorry. Strike that. We of course we do see the Jadzia getting married because we see the gowns and the crowns and. Hey, do you have a crown for your wedding, Philip? Because apparently that's in this year.
Well, I think I'd have to rent a crown, and you know those. I'm trying to keep costs down, guys. I mean, you know.
Well, you could have skipped out on the tux and gotten a crown.
Well, the thing was, I don't know at what point in my wedding. I don't know if you're supposed to do it at the beginning or, like, during the middle of the service, but because purple is our color, because, of course, we're regal and grape-flavored, I have a purple cummerbund and bow tie. Now, I have a real bow tie. I have several real bow ties because bow ties are cool, but the only bow tie I could find that's purple is, like, your traditional, like, rental bow tie clip on the side one. And so I don't know at what point in the ceremony I'm supposed to stop, turn to the crowd and be like, guys, I know how to tie a real bow tie. This was just the only I mean
the answer is never and no at no time during the service, Philip.
If you didn't get a crown though, did you guys at least spring for some pain sticks that you can zap everybody with as they
well
walk
see
by?
Then I would have to have groomsmen.
You don't know, you can do it to your guests, anybody that's walking in, doesn't matter.
Drop off your gift, grab your pain stick, and boom.
I would have had to have you guys hanging in a Klingon cave for at least a week or two.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
I get real cranky when I'm hungry, though, so I don't know if that's necessarily the best.
So hunger is what you focus on in that situation, Daniel, not the hanging upside down for extended periods
of time. Is this going to be one of those things where, like, we see either Miles or Bashir, and they're like, oh, and they're like, guys... Daniel, you know how you are when you get hungry, and then they give you a Snickers, and you just turn back to Daniel.
So in this situation, Daniel, are you Bashir and I'm Miles?
I'm okay with that. Yeah,
we know how you guys are. Okay, yeah.
Well, I figured I offered you the blue shirt because no,
yeah,
one
I appreciate
you know, your
I appreciate
preference,
that.
And
I'm younger, right? It fits a lot of ways.
It does. Well, it turns out there's actually another data pack. Stuck here in the transceiver. This one's actually from farther across a far galaxy called the United Kingdom. And this one is actually from Colin Higgins.
Hi guys, it's Colin from England. So, Star Trek weddings. Well, first of all, I think the best Star Trek wedding has got to be Deanna Troi and William T. Riker. Yes, the Rikers in space. But what makes this wedding more special is not only do we get to see Data doing his speech, so to speak, and then singing, which is his gift, we also get to see the complete look of horror and Worf when he realises he's going to have to go to Beta Z and take all his clothes off. Unfortunately, that only appears in the X-rated version of the film, which is on a limited copy release and only available through certain underhand channels. But I can attest, girls, that the ridges do go where you think they go. So the next one would be, let's have a think about it. Obviously, Worf again. Keep with the Worf theme and go to DS9, where Worf worries Jadzia. Now, this is a phenomenal insight into Klingon society. We get to see what you have to go through in order to be accepted into a house. We get to see the trials and tribulations that Jadzia has to go through to win over the lady of the house. And then we get to see some seriously spectacular Klingon wedding costumes. And, you know, any hot-blooded male would actually recognise that Jadzia looks really good in hers. And then there's the negative, which is O'Brien marrying Keiko. It's a negative because we know what the guy's in for. We know where he's going to go. We know where he's going to end up. And we know that he's going to spend the rest of his life with someone who doesn't stop whining. In fact, she whines more than a Bajoran, which is saying something. So, but there's been lots of weddings. You know, Kirk married someone in TOS who then went and died. So don't get married by Kirk. And it's just, even the books actually, they actually refer to weddings in the books as being wedding contracts. So you're only married for the period of the contract. So Star Trek has a familiar take on weddings. But those are my favourite ones. And I hope that helps you in some way towards it. Oh, and speaking of Beta Zod weddings, we can hardly forget Loxana Troi walking into the lounge on the Enterprise D completely naked to marry her man, who, just to prove that she's Beta Zod through and through.
Now, I had actually forgotten about Loxana's wedding. I mean, we've been talking about Beta Zeds and Next Generation. It had a runaway groom in that one.
You know, she likes the romantic comedies of life, so I'm not surprised that would happen in hers. And I'm pretty sure
she wanted to marry Odo. She got married to Odo.
She did marry Odo.
Yeah, yeah.
She gets. So, she's often involved in to coin a phrase, wackadoo romantic situations fairly regularly. So yeah, she, you know, we see her get married at least twice, and then we see her probably with people that she would marry if the circumstances were right all the time.
That is
now,
very true.
We are, I mean, it's mostly going to be quote unquote traditional, but we are writing our own vows. So should I look up Odo's speech? Maybe for some tips on writing my own.
I know Ode to Spot is a classic, Philip, but.
Or should I go with Picard, oding Loxana.
Shall I compare thee to a
so you're double
day?
Quoting like the internet loves to do.
I'm not quoting Shakespeare. I'm quoting
it's the
Picard
Shakespeare
quote
and then
Shakespeare.
It says dash Shakespeare dash Captain Picard
and then a quote around that and then there's a you know that does up the nerd factor quite
nested
a bit
quotes
there, Philip.
Right there.
I would go with that.
That's good.
There are some, and I don't know how to describe it. Human seems such a broad term, but human weddings, I guess we'll go with.
One of your human weddings.
Exactly. So we get, not to be more TNG-based, but we get Data's Day. I don't know, I guess Data was quote-unquote father of the bride rolling for Keiko, and as she married Miles O'Brien. So that was an interesting ceremony there, because you sort of had Miles in his dress uniform and Keiko in her, I assume, culturally traditional garb. So
yeah, it's these kinds of episodes where they go really into the culture that I kind of find it interesting, because again, just with, you know, it's so hard to project the future and the clothing of the future, but let alone culture. Like, again, this is like, do we still honor traditions from the 1700s? Like, that's basically what, you know, or farther back, that they're kind of implying. And I mean, there are some, I mean, just ways that we carry ourselves, but it's always kind of hit or miss, I feel, when you're trying to project what are humans going to do in the 24th century. That's very difficult to do, let alone right.
and,
a wedding.
And I think, you know, because, I mean, you know, as we planned our wedding, because we planned our wedding, which means it probably won't go well. But we planned our wedding, and
you should let Data plan your wedding. I mean, that's
I know, right? Well, only if it makes you happy. Yes. but you know, it's sort of like, you know, what do you do for the sake of just doing, and then what do you want to do because you do it? I mean, and so, you know, not that we're old, but we're both not in our 20s or 30s. And so, you know, this is sort of a little bit more mature wedding planning, and so, you know, I don't know. Like, I wanted a cake, you know, simple stuff, like cake cutting, you know, that's, you know, traditional just for the sake of it, and a first dance, and then, you know, toast.
Oh,
and,
toast?
You know, just little stuff.
Good thing you got
that.
A space toaster. Yeah, nice.
I do.
Not that kind of toast, Daniel. Now, do you have nerdy cake toppers? Because I feel the cake topper area is a rife plateau for some sort of nerdy thing.
You know, I'm going to be honest, hasn't been brought up, and now that you brought it up, it's going to get brought up.
Like, my sister-in-law just got married last year, and they had dinosaurs that were painted in the colors of their wedding as their cake toppers, and I think for my wife and I, we had a Snow White and her prince cake topper set, because Snow White is my wife's favorite Disney princess. Not that ours was princess-themed, but that was, you know, it's, and I've seen a lot of really clever, I mean, I think you might have an action figure or two, Philip, that you could easily place on top. I mean, Miles and Keiko right there. You probably have. Okay.
Don't do that.
Maybe not. That's maybe not the best idea. But
well, look, I'm just a meat and potatoes kind of guy. You know, I just.
Worf and Jadzia, you know, Klingon wedding. I'm sure they made those figures.
I just feel like being in a church, we shouldn't talk about how we destroyed the gods.
Wait a minute. You're not going to have the cake in the church, are you? So you're fine. You don't have to worry about it at all.
Okay. Well, I could maybe
I was actually
use a bat left to cut the cake.
There you go. There you go. I mean, it's going to be a little messy. I'm not going to lie.
Darren, have you ever stayed up late at night and watched those amazing infomercials with you know, whatever the knife is, you could throw a tomato at it and it'll just split
Ronco
it.
Food.
Yep. Such a perfect cut.
Now I'm just like picturing... I'm picturing like that for just like the wedding cutting, but of course, if it's in that late night infomercial, you have to see people who don't know how to use it. It's like using a knife to cut a cake. Oh no, my arm came.
Everybody
off.
Gets covered with cake when they like whack it with the broadside of it.
See, I'm now picturing, you know, that smaller, what do they call it, like the mukbah one that Worf used on the Borg in First Contact. If it's that sharp, I'm kind of measuring, like, he had it kind of just like tucked into his suit. I'm kind of picturing him accidentally like twisting, and now he's like compromised his suit.
Well, good thing he has no shortage of Borg limbs to
Borg parts.
Yeah, there you go. All I have to do is tourniquet my lower extremity.
You know, actually, this
totally
that was
fine.
A great point to originally bring up, even though we kind of got away from it, Darren, was the fact that the marriage seems kind of the same in the 24th century. It doesn't seem very different. You know, we don't get so much of it that there isn't possibly differences, but you know, it's a super old institution obviously at this point, but it's still it's a social construct, and it's changing, it's changed over time and continues to change.
I mean, theoretically they're not worried about tax
presumably
structures.
Not.
And I like how they continue the tradition of the captain can marry people. I mean, we get that in TOS,
same speech,
right? Yeah, we though that ends in death, so that's
well. The wedding
not
doesn't
bad.
End in death, so
you know,
what can
I'm
you do?
Just, it's not a red wedding, but
right.
It's a gold or a blue wedding. I can't remember which.
I don't know. Wasn't he an engineer? I think could have.
Oh, so it was a red wedding.
No, he was actually a torpedo or phaser. Or
was he a torpedo?
Well, he was afterwards,
that's not good.
Philip. That was very very rude.
Oh wow!
Too
you're
soon,
just
man.
This full circle.
Oh, we'll have it in the same facility here since, you know, we'll get married here. And then in 2 days, we can send his body out to space here. That's perfect.
I mean, we already ordered all the food. Now, one marriage one wedding, I was a little disappointed we didn't actually get to see, even though we did, but we didn't. And that was B'Elanna Torres and Tom Paris. So we got to see their wedding in Course Oblivion, except that wasn't them.
And for all intents and purposes, it's them.
And then when the real ones got married, it was sort of like cutscene of like, hey, I think we should finally get married. And then like you just jump to the Delta flyer with just married written on it. You're like, eh,
and
aw.
the barrels behind it. You can't forget that. Tradition has to make it to
see,
the
some things just
century.
Don't make any sense, Star Trek. Those cans wouldn't even make noise in
now,
space.
See, that's an interesting...
dummies.
And as they stop, and they would start to drift forward and like bang onto the. And every time they. And they're like, this was a terrible idea. Jettison the cans. Wait,
the
that
impulse,
was the warp core.
Or the thrusters would, you know, melt them and it would mess up the intake of the. Yeah. Now, we have an interesting reverse issue because, you know, usually the couple leaves after the reception. But the reception's here at our property. So we actually have to have a reverse situation where we make everyone leave. And so luckily we're going to have a fireworks display.
Ooh.
And so I think that's the ultimate please go home.
No, it's like you signal. Can't top it. We just had cake and fireworks.
Yeah.
Okay, party's over. Let's go.
See, now I'm picturing, though, you know, the Disneyland... You know, spectator voice coming over. Due to prevailing winds, the fireworks for Philip's wedding will not take place.
Boo!
Everyone's taking their gift back. You know.
Hey, I'm trying to get a good rating online for this.
10 out of 10. Would wed again.
Now, when I was doing my DS9 rewatch, even though I knew this because I've watched Deep Space Nine before. I think the Ben Sisko Cassidy Yates wedding kind of surprises me, because of course, like even the whole like it's not just like oh they got you know they finally got married, but it's like the prophets literally told Ben, "Do not marry this woman, or else all hell will break loose."
Sad, great sadness.
Yeah, so that was I mean it's a simple ceremony, of course, but just Admiral Ross sort of.
I'm not surprised that, you know, the prophets weren't.
Well, they were there. They
the
hang out outside the window, man. Of course they were there.
Right as he says, I do, the wormhole opens for no reason. And it's
it
like
turns
really
into an
awkward.
Angry wormhole.
Yeah. Because the invitation said prophets, not prophets plus one. And look, we had to. We don't have enough food for everyone.
What is this plus one? They don't understand it like linear time. They just can't comprehend.
You know,
because they embody everybody whenever you're in the...
That actually reminded me to, like, earlier on in the show, and it happens a few times, or at least twice, I think, where, like, young Bajoran couples would come up to Sisko and ask for his blessing and stuff like that for their weddings. And so that's an interesting aspect of that I'd forgotten about.
Well, we don't actually see Rom and... Lito's wedding, do we? Because
Sisko... he just does a quick like wartime.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
you see
married.
Like the tail end of it. I think like in the room.
It's like you know going to City Hall of Deep Space Nine. Basically, is what they
Wait,
do.
Then it go into the Bajoran
I don't
temple.
Remember.
Like I mean, the Ferengi temple was right next
I think
door.
They actually, they were either in the wardroom or they were in the Bajoran temple. I can't remember which, but. Now, although I'm thinking back to Ben Sisko's wedding, okay, so Ben, so you have your wedding on Deep Space Nine, Junkerville, when you could have had it in the Celestial Temple. I mean, that sounds like a wedding venue if I've ever heard one.
Yeah, but I mean, you got to book those like
millennia in advance.
Yeah, and time has no meaning, which is even worse to try to do a reservation.
Very true. You exist in the ceremony and in the reception at the same time. I don't even know how to explain that.
No. And here with some real-life wedding experience is one of our other co-hosts here on the Nerd Party, and that is Mike Schindler.
Hey, this is Mike from Great Shot Kid. And I have had some experience going to a wedding which involves Star Trek things in it. In fact, it was my own wedding, and we had quite a few Star Trek things running throughout the ceremony in various ways. This was not necessarily by design. It's not like we were like, yeah, we're Star Trek fans. Let's have a Star Trek wedding. It was more sort of, it we got around to it in a more like philosophical way, in a sense, because neither my wife or I have any sort of religion, which we, you know, respond to. So we had to sort of like come up with a ceremony. You know, there's no like guidebook for a ceremony in, you know, sort of a non-religious sense, you know? So we were like, okay, what do we do? You know, what is it? And it's like, well, we need to keep it short. And because we were at, you know, freaking Disney World, and no one wants to, you know, sit through a long ceremony when they could be on Thunder Mountain, myself included. So we were like, okay, it needs to be short, and it needs to be significant to us in the way that, you know, a religious ceremony is significant to the people participating in that. And, you know, we started thinking about, you know, like, what are the values that we share? What are the stories which we share, which, you know, represent those values and everything? And, you know, as is often the case, you know, it all comes back to Star Trek. You know, I'm not the first person to say this, and I won't be the last person to say this, but, you know, Star Trek is considered by many to be sort of like the great humanist mythology. And it only makes sense that my wife and I, both being big Star Trek fans, would, you know, sort of like incorporate that into our wedding. And it sort of manifested in a number of ways. You know, like at one point we were actually considering getting married at the Vasquez Rocks, where Kirk fought the Gorn. That's also where a lot of stuff on Roswell was shot, and that was like the show that my wife and I kind of like watched together at the very beginning of our relationship, and we thought that there was some nice sort of like poetic stuff in there, which, you know, there was. And we actually went to the Vasquez Rocks to scout it out. And absolutely beautiful location, definitely filled with significance for us. Also, 112 degrees. Also, nearest bathroom, which isn't a porta potty, is a 45-minute drive. So we decided we're going to take a pass on that and go to a nice climate-controlled building in Epcot, and that worked out pretty well. But there were other Star Trek things which creeped into the ceremony, most notably the structure of the ceremony itself. We were like, how do we do this short? You know, what do we do? What do we say? You know, we're not, you know, wedding planners or anything like that. We don't know the structure of a wedding, so we go to Star Trek. We look, okay, well, Deep Space Nine, Ben and Cassidy get married in season 7 of that show. And I remembered that, you know, I think it was Ron Moore who wrote that episode. When he was writing it, he based that ceremony on the ceremony from Balance of Terror in the original series. It's almost the same word for word, and I'm like, well, this is obviously an established format which works for people throughout, you know, 100 years, you know, in the future, you know, over the span of 100 years. Let's go with that. So if you look at the script for our wedding, it is essentially word for word taken from that episode of Deep Space Nine, with just little things, you know, changed. Like, instead of saying, you know, one of the most pleasant duties of an admiral or a Starfleet admiral is the privilege of joining two people in matrimony, we changed it to one of the most pleasant duties of a universal life church minister is this, which to me I thought was freaking hilarious, because pleasant duty of a universal life church minister, which is literally like a certification that, you know, our friend Brandon got like over the internet just so that he could perform this. Anyway, it made me laugh. I don't think anyone else got the joke, but that's okay. You know, and then like our entire thing was that. And, you know, that was really freaking short. We were like, we need to make this a little bit longer, because we are paying, you know, kind of a substantial chunk of change for this here ceremony. So let's stretch it out to at least 10 minutes, you know? So, you know, we thought like, well, what are other things that we can include? Well, obviously there's the procession, you know, right? So before the actual ceremony, you know, we had like a 3 or 4 piece, you know, little orchestra thingy in the corner, and they played the Voyager theme as everyone was like taking their seats. And then my wife walked up the aisle to the theme from Deep Space Nine because that was her favorite piece from the series. So that was pretty cool. And that wasn't really like, oh yeah, Star Trek. It was just more like, this is a good piece of music. Let's use it in our wedding. You know, that kind of thing. And then the other thing, which was really significant in terms of the actual ceremony, is, you know, we thought we should have a reading. So we had my aunt read a story. And again, it all ties back to weddings and also Star Trek, and Star Trek being, you know, a thing. So the reading which she gave was the tale of the Klingon heart, which is, you know, the sort of thing which, you know, they act out when Worf and Dax get married. So that is incorporated in there. And, you know, if you look at that, you know, and we transcribed it and put it in there, and it's actually a pretty beautiful story. And, you know, we kind of liked the idea of, it's like, you know, these two people whose love is so strong that, you know, they, no one could stand between them, and, you know, and they killed their gods and, you know, triumphed forever in Stovokor or whatever it was. We thought that was pretty cool, but also really beautiful. So there was that in there as well. And like, even, you know, because we needed to kind of make it look official, like, even though these things were like written up on pieces of paper, we were like, we need to do this in, you know, some sort of, the presentation is a big thing. My wife and I, both really big fans of Batman. So when, you know, our minister, my friend Brandon, was reading from the good book, that good book happens to be a hardcover collection of early Detective Comics, the first appearance of Batman and whatnot. And then when my aunt was reading the Tale of the Klingon Hearts, it was actually from a nice hardcover a copy of the Okuda's Star Trek Encyclopedia, which we thought was perfect because, I mean, this is essentially, in a lot of ways, you know, the Bible of Star Trek. You know, it is the complete history all in one text, and we thought that there was some nice stuff, you know, to that. You know, you take off the slip cover, and then it looks like a very nice, you know, hardcover book. And you know, we thought that was pretty cool. The other little touch that we had, I guess, is the engraving on our wedding rings, you know, on the inside. When you put it together, it says, I have been and always shall be your friend. So we just thought that was kind of a nice sentiment to carry around with us, you know. So that was our, you know, wedding. It wasn't a Star Trek themed wedding. I mean, there were a lot of other things that were important to us, which were, you know, just sort of naturally brought into, you know, the wedding because they were us. Like, you know, I always wear a baseball cap, so why would I not be wearing a baseball cap when I got married? So yes, I was wearing a White Sox cap with my James Bond tuxedo from Casino Royale and my Air Jordans. You know, I mean, there's just like things like that, you know. It's not like they were, it was like Star Trek all the time. I wasn't wearing, like, you know, a Starfleet dress uniform or anything like that. But there was naturally a lot of Star Trek in our ceremony because Star Trek is a big part of our lives. And I know, but, you know, people have their stories. People have things which are important to them, you know, which, and that they obviously want to bring those things into, you know, one of the most important days of their lives. For a lot of people, it's religion. For us, it's Star Trek. You know, that's just the way it goes. Is it crazy? Maybe, you know, but is it crazier than anything else? I would argue not. So, yeah, so that was our Star Trek wedding. And I will also say that I have seen Star Trek incorporated into a wedding ceremony on one other occasion, and that was when my friend and podcasting co-host Max got married. It was a very big deal to him that the wedding be very secular in nature. And after talking to the rabbi about this and getting the rabbi on board, the rabbi realized that he and his wife were both very big fans of Star Trek. And the rabbi incorporated a lot of Star Trek into their ceremony, unbeknownst to them. You know, this was just through conversations with the couple and everything that the rabbi figured out what was important and what wasn't important and everything. And this rabbi's Star Trek knowledge was deep, and his references were sound, and I was extremely impressed at the way that he incorporated Star Trek into their ceremony. They also played the inner light flute thingy during the ceremony, so there was that too, which was cool. In fact, I think pretty sure that's what she walked up the aisle to, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So there's two Star Trek wedding thingies for you. But yeah, that's pretty much all that I got. Good luck, Philip, with your journey and your Star Trek wedding and everything like that, or whatever it is you're doing with your wedding.
In my mind, this is how I did it, you know, and everyone obviously can do their own things, but in my mind, I've sort of segregated between that Friday night, which is sort of our rehearsal party and all that, and then the actual ceremony. So, like, the ceremony, I'm like, I'm going to play it mostly straight. I don't know, I'll probably have Star Trek socks on that no one will know about, but it's pretty much going to be pretty, you know, it's traditional. However, that Friday night before is going to be full nerd, because it is, like, me and my fiancé and soon-to-be wife met when she hired me to do a murder mystery, because she runs a theater company, and so we are doing a Comic-Con based murder mystery called To Boldly Kill Where No One Has Killed Before, I believe. I'm an audience member. This is the first murder mystery where I don't know anything, because I just wanted to be surprised and be a participant. But we're encouraging people to cosplay. She will be in her TARDIS dress. I'm actually not going to wear a Starfleet uniform. I know, shock, shock, shock. That's because I always wear it. So I'm actually going to be in my Jeff Probst CBS Survivor cosplay. But it'll be interesting, because I know we have a character in the murder mystery of Spock, and then we have a Princess Leia, a Wonder Woman, a Wolverine, a Doctor Who. But that's sort of my Star Trek-ish, nerdish part. So, like Darren, I knew you had maybe some Star Wars elements, knowing y'all, but what kind of nerd elements did y'all have, if anything?
We had, so at the very end of our ceremony, when we left, and I guess the recessional, or not processional, whatever they call it, when you go back down the aisle, we played the, pretty sure it was the main theme for Star Wars. And that was just, you know, and that was my wife's idea. She wanted to play that, and we didn't have, like, you know, sometimes people have, you know, Princess Bride playing as people come in and stuff like that, and that's, you know, semi nerdy. We had Marine's uncle and a friend sang from Snow White. It wasn't My Prince Was Come. What was it called? It was
Hi Ho. Hi Ho.
No, not Hi Ho. Hi Ho. I'm Wishing.
Oh yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. So we had like really beautiful, you know, music, and that was nice. But yeah, I'd definitely say, you know, playing Star Wars towards the end, and then one of my groomsmen, unbeknownst to me, had smuggled, not really, a blue lightsaber, really nice one, and a blaster in. And so when we were taking some pictures in the reception, I was given the lightsaber and Marine was given the blaster, and we instantly struck into the classic Star Wars pose, you know, me, fake Luke chest holding it above my hands, and Marine, you know, hiking up her skirt and aiming her blaster off Han Solo style. And we, people, you know, surprise, surprise, we instantly knew what to do, even without any choreography. But, so that we definitely had that. And it was just a lot of fun friends. But we didn't, this was a pre-Pinterest wedding. I just want to state that. So, you know, we didn't have a million and one nerd ideas. Just we had to come up with it on our own. And that's hard, Philip. It's hard.
It is. I mean, the fact that we don't have just a straight wedding full of Hamilton, I don't know how we avoided that, but somehow. So, and then of course, I don't know, you know, we're just doing it very simple for our honeymoon. We're just going to go to her uncle's beach house for a week because it's kind of our unofficial honeymoon. Then our official honeymoon is going to be at the end of the year when we go to the United Kingdom, specifically because we do have Hamilton tickets in the West End.
That's fun.
But of course, yes. So, which I know is not Star Trek oriented, but it is our own nerddom because we're theater nerds as well. Well, that's kind of a quick roundabout on Star Trek weddings, both canon, semi-non-canon, and semi-real life. But any other final I-dos before we sign off my bachelor days of Star Trek podcasting?
Well, we kind of briefly did touch on the Troy Riker wedding, but we didn't really speak on it. I feel I really do like the speech that Picard gives, you know, he says some really touching words to Troy and to Riker, and I think as they go off, you know, on the Titan, and I haven't really read any of the Titan books, but I just really like that. It's very poignant, and you know, there's a lot of emotional moments in that movie of the crew, as it is kind of a curtain call for a lot of them. But and then, you know, we can all admit Data is a great, you know, best man. I don't know if that's I think he was the best.
No, I think Picard was the best man.
I thought Picard was doing the service, though.
He can do both.
Like he married them. He can do both. Well, he's Picard. He can do both.
Data was going to be the best first officer ever of the Enterprise. He was finally going to get that promotion.
Too soon.
Put on red.
Too soon.
Just gonna,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man. Mm. Thanks for bringing it down.
But anyway, I just wanted to say that I did like the parts we did see of the wedding.
Well, yeah, and to me, and because I'm such a Picardite, and anytime I talk Nemesis, I'm going to talk deleted scene.
Picardophile, I think, is the appropriate juxtaposition.
But I'm always going to talk deleted scene when we talk Nemesis, because there's a great deleted scene when it's Picard and Data, and it's just after the wedding.
Frankly, I almost envy them. They made important decisions. Great challenges lying ahead of them. New worlds. Seeing Will and Deanna today made me think about some of the decisions I've made. Devoting my life to Starfleet. Not marrying. Having children. All the choices that led me here.
I could just talk the whole scene, but I'm not going to. But there's one...
You tell Picard's wasted, Data's a little tipsy. No,
he's like, where's Yar? And then, like, she's dead, and then everyone feels sad.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Jeez, Philip, two for two.
But there's a line in that deleted scene where Data and Picard are talking about, you know, choices they've made in life and where the future is going to lead them with, you know, all the crew getting ready to leave the Enterprise and everything. And, you know, that's the approach that Captain Picard has taken, whether consciously or not, to not have what Riker and Troy are having in Nemesis.
Although I do think later in the books he does marry...
Well, he does in the show, too, remember?
But...
Yeah, that's right.
That's
she
true.
Kept the name.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we won't get into that topic. That's another hot button.
Oh, are we going to do Star Trek divorces next week, guys?
No.
Because it's a little too soon.
No.
I feel like...
Jeez. Well, since it's usually by death, but yeah. Anyway, I guess that'd be widowing, not divorce. But
yes.
But no, well, Philip, we do wish you... and Jessica, well, on your nerd nuptials.
Hey, I think that's taken.
But no, we know it'll be a wonderful ceremony, and we're really happy for you too. And we, you know, we've enjoyed having Jessica on the show before, and we'll love to have her on again as the future Mrs. Philip Gilfus.
I think I'm actually Mr. Nunn after this. I believe that's how it works.
Hey, that's a Star Trek ideal right there.
You won't have to change. Your Twitter handle, so it's a win-win.
That's right. We're interested in all our listeners' thoughts about your favorite Star Trek wedding, or maybe a wedding you've been to that had some Star Trek aspects, or even some nerdy aspects. Feel free to contact us either through the Nerd Party Facebook page or on the Twitter at Nerd Party. And you can even send us a communique to our base here on City Alpha 3 at the website at thenerdparty.com/contact to reach us. Or if you feel like, you know what could I give Philip as a wedding present? You know what? An iTunes review. That would really do it. A rating in
That's what I got you, Philip.
That's right. But you only gave me 2 stars, Darren.
Ouch.
I'm
one for each of you.
Well, speaking of a great future out there, Darren, what can we look forward to next week?
Well, next week we are going to be talking about holodeck personnel. We're going to have a shorter episode where we just focus on three fairly fleshed out holodeck characters that we see in Star Trek, Vic Fontaine, Moriarty, and of course, the Doctor.
Okay. And if folks want to talk about any of those topics, where can they find you online, Darren?
They can find me on Twitter under username Dr. Sci-Fi, DrSciFi, or my website, drscifi.com, where I blog and post about droids I'm building and places I'm trooping.
And Daniel, if people want to talk to you about why you hate Irving Berlin so much at weddings, where can they find you?
They can find me on Twitter, at @oneofdan. That's the number one, as in I'm all alone.
Right.
Oh.
Right.
Wow.
And they can reach me at the Happily Married handle on Twitter at NC Public Servant.
Hey, well, you're upping our married quotient to 66% there, Phil.
I know.
That's pretty good.
This is the last happy medium, City Alpha 3, where you have a single, an engaged, and a married, and now we're going to go two marrieds to a single. And I think that's like a great poker hand.
Are you going to be able to win at... was it Dabo with that hand?
Right. Let's try to think.
Or Tongo. Tongo's more of a card game. Dabo's more of a wheel.
I think that's actually a Fizbin hand.
Oh, there you go. Actually. That makes sense.
Oh, woo,
you got
wow.
a full, you got a full Fizbin on that
back
one.
There, Philip.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Darren Moser, also married.
I'm not. I'm Daniel Prue.
Stranded here on City Alpha 3 until the honeymoon.